Life comes at you pretty fast, and the speed at which the news business moves can sometimes take your breath away. I know this personally. In fact, I remember all too well the chaotic aftermath of Scott Foster's death by suicide in August 2022. That's the event which thrust the Cheer Incorporated scandal into the limelight and exposed what attorneys have called a factory of abuse within the American cheerleading industry. Podcasts are supposed to be immune from the rapid-fire news crush, though. They exist to tell stories beyond the headlines, to share deeper perspectives and personal narratives that go beyond even the most in-depth investigative reporting. Podcasts are conversations, and this podcast has hosted and will continue to host the same conversation taking place on Fitz News, one in which all voices with intelligent, informed takes on the alleged sexual exploitation of underage cheer athletes are welcomed, even and especially the voices of those accused of the abuse or their representatives. These mics are open mics. They always have been, and they always will be. That's how our system works, in court and in the court of public opinion. Sometimes, though, events conspire to disrupt that conversation, and other times, powerful interests with literally everything on the line conspire in an attempt to silence the conversation altogether. Hell, that's what this whole story is about, isn't it? Last week, this podcast shared the first part of our host Jen Wood's amazing interview with Kristen, the mother of twin boys who are survivors of sexual abuse perpetrated by Jerry Harris, one of the stars of the hit Netflix show Cheer. We had hoped to air the second half of that interview today, but thanks to what seems like a coordinated suppression campaign from Tennessee-based Varsity, the behemoth of the American cheer industry and a defendant in multiple federal lawsuits related to the sex abuse scandal, the second half of that interview has been delayed. That's right, silenced. For now, anyway. So, what happens when someone is silenced? Well, we have to talk about why they were silenced, which is what this episode is going to do, and why this episode of Cheer Inc. is going to be one you won't want to miss.
As we predicted it would, the Cheer Incorporated story expanded again in late October 2022 when attorneys from the Strom Law Firm filed another lawsuit in U.S. District Court in North Carolina on behalf of a new John Doe. Like past lawsuits, this action rocked the cheer community by naming yet another high-profile gym, and with it, another set of well-known and renowned gym owners and coaches. While cheer Twitter was abuzz, and there was some fantastic reporting done by local media, I noticed that once again, investigative reporting from national media was conspicuously absent. Why? Here was the running scorecard at the time the first North Carolina suit was filed. 6 federal complaints, 3 states, 15 survivors, 13 coaches accused of abuse, 3 gyms. Every time this story lights up a local news market, I'm happy this epidemic of abuse is getting the attention it deserves. But I worry there are parents and athletes in other states who are still suffering, afraid to speak up because they don't know that they aren't alone. I worry that there's a coach on one of the so-called watchdogs ineligible list who moved cross-country and is working with kids at another gym. I'm not going to lie. That thought has kept me up more nights than I can count. It occupies my mind as I write and research. And it stays in my head when I'm checking on the friends I've made reporting on this case, the parents and children affected by this culture of abuse and exploitation. I can't stop thinking about it, and it won't go away until the story is blown wide open.
Welcome to Cheer Incorporated, a podcast launched by the investigative journalists at Fitz News. Cheer Incorporated is produced by Fitz News, which broke the story wide open in August 2022 with its coverage of the Rockstar Cheer sex abuse scandal in Greenville, South Carolina. Cheer Incorporated is dedicated to exposing the culture of sexual abuse, intimidation, and the ensuing cover-up within America's cheerleading industry. Our team digs deep, provides context, and share stories, starting with those who endure the very worst of this industry's ravages. This podcast is written, narrated, and produced by our research director and resident cheer mom, Jen Wood, by our director of special projects, Dylan Nolan, and by me, Fitz News founding editor, Will Folks. Got something you think we should know about this story? Email us at research@fitznews.com. That's research@fitsnews.com.
In the aftermath of this latest lawsuit, something new happened. Something that I believe will prove to be monumental. On Monday, October 31st, 2022, the athletic director for Wake County School District in North Carolina announced the district is no longer allowing any of their schools to participate in varsity cheer competitions. A district spokesperson told WRAL News in North Carolina that, quote, "Ultimately, the decision was made based on what we believe to be the best interest and well-being of our students at this time." Q Tucker, commissioner for the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, told WRAL that, quote, "Due to circumstances beyond our control, Varsity Spirit will not be involved in the state invitational." Wake County Schools and the State High School Athletic Association said, enough was enough. The chorus of survivors' voices is only getting louder and more powerful by the day. Is this decision representative of the systemic change we need nationwide? No. But it certainly could be the start of something monumental. If the preservation of profits was indeed the driving factor behind the decisions being made to protect our child athletes, maybe, just maybe, the loss of those profits will be what forces the industry to make the changes that are so badly needed and so long overdue.
In September of 2016, the Indianapolis Star began its investigative reporting on the USA Gymnastics Larry Nassar scandal. The first line of their first article read as follows. Two former gymnasts, one an Olympic medalist, have accused a prominent longtime team physician for USA Gymnastics of sexual abuse. As a journalist, rereading that first story from 6 years ago is chilling. 2 years after this initial report by Tim Evans, Mark Alesia, and Maria Kwiatkowski, Nassar's sentencing was broadcast from a courtroom in Charlotte, Michigan, onto television screens across the country. Judge Janice Cunningham told the court, "We have identified over 265 victims and an infinite number of victims in the state, in the country, and all over the world." 265 victims. 265 lives permanently altered. But before that initial report, silence. The people who prey on our children aren't all stupid. And the ones who get away with it sure as hell aren't. If your child is in their crosshairs, they probably won't even know it. And a seasoned predator isn't even going to think about making a move if they believe you, the parent, suspect something's up. These predators aren't like lions or bears. They can't conveniently discard or walk away from what's left of the lives they consume. They must manipulate their victims into silence. In speaking with multiple Jane and John Does for this story, we've learned this manipulation often begins years. Yes, years before physical contact is ever initiated. For years, the seeds of silence are sown so that when the physical manifestation of abuse finally begins, lines have become so blurred in the minds of many victims, they often don't even recognize what is happening to them. These victims are often treated wonderfully by their future abusers. Bonds are developed, trust is earned, so much so that when a predator finally strikes, it's quite literally unbelievable. Think about what would go through your mind if the person you trusted the most violated you in the ways that are alleged in these Cheer Inc. lawsuits. Think about what would go through your mind if you were a teenager with no experience in the adult world, if your mind was, in fact, still developing. Think about what would go through your developing mind if you were told by your abuser that they cared for you, even loved you. You can either destroy your conception of who you are and who the people you know and love are, or step into living a lie. Once young, innocent, and sure of your place in the world, now you must lie to your friends, coaches, parents, even yourself. What happened, you might ask yourself? Did it even really happen? Was what happened okay? Well, of course it was, because they told me they loved me. It's sick, but it's how silence is guaranteed. If perpetrators are sufficiently sophisticated, this silence can last years. But as Janice said, each silent soul sits like a flake of snow, blown onto the mountainside by a storm of sexual exploitation. With each flake, another jewel of potential energy is deposited, just waiting to go kinetic. But this can't last forever. Eventually, someone breaks free from their invisible bonds. Someone speaks up. Someone stands up and kicks a snowball down the mountain that eventually becomes an avalanche. In the case of Larry Nassar, two brave former gymnasts accused the formerly beloved United States gymnastics physician of sexual abuse. The initial lawsuit alleged that Nassar groped and fondled a minor and that the U.S. Gymnastics Association failed to act on allegations he'd done so previously. One of the two initial Jane Does, former gymnast Rachel Den Hollander, said she only came forward after reading the Indianapolis Star's initial investigation into allegations that USA Gymnastics executives repeatedly failed to contact law enforcement about sex abuse allegations. Sound familiar? She told reporters, "Over the last 16 years, I've realized I have a responsibility, and the question about whether or not to speak publicly cannot center around what's easy for me. This isn't something I want to do," she said. "I was terrified. I was ashamed. I was very embarrassed. He's trusted by my friends," she said. "He's trusted by these other gymnasts. How could he reach this kind of prominence and stature if this is who he is? It's much easier in some ways to hide from what's happening and just go somewhere else mentally. It was easier to not have to verbalize and recognize what was happening." Den Hollander broke the silence. And 13 days later, the Indianapolis Star had a new headline. 16 more women accused former USA Gymnastics doctor of sexual abuse. The flakes of snow, no longer silently suffering, had become an avalanche. It wasn't something Rachel wanted to do, but she was compelled to speak up. And so more victims came forward. And by December 2016, Nassar was indicted. In 2018, the U.S. Congress passed the Protecting Young Victims from Sexual Abuse and Safe Sport Authorization Act, which attaches criminal penalties whenever allegations of child sex abuse in sport organizations go unreported. Yet while Larry Nassar was receiving his decades-long prison sentence, Scott Foster was still blatantly defying his suspension from cheerleading so-called oversight entities. The Indianapolis Star's investigative series on sexual abuse in gymnastics was groundbreaking. It launched a movement across sports to make real change that protected athletes. People were listening. Policies were changed. Laws were written. But in cheerleading, which was on the cusp of becoming an Olympic sport at the time, it was business as usual.
Safe. It's a word I find myself saying a lot now. After the Indy Star broke the story about sex abuse in gymnastics, the United States Congress took notice. As Will mentioned, they passed a law intended to establish protection for vulnerable young athletes. Among its provisions, it established the United States Center for Safe Sport as an independent entity to investigate reports of abuse and to protect athletes from abuse in the United States Olympic movement. President Donald Trump signed the act into law on February 14th, 2018. This law, aimed at protecting the safety of athletes, was a huge step in the right direction. But as is too often in this case, there was a loophole. The only organizations required to follow this law were those recognized as Olympic governing bodies in amateur sports organizations. While cheerleading is still making moves to become a sport recognized by the Olympics, the USASF and USA Cheer are not currently considered governing bodies by the IOC. Therefore, they are not required to follow safe sport laws. Instead, Varsity has implemented a program that it calls Safe at All-Star. I know, it's ironic under the circumstances, huh? Safe Sport was designed to develop and enforce policies, procedures, and training to prevent abuse and misconduct in sports. But most importantly, it was designated to provide independent oversight to the resolution of abuse allegations. Independent oversight. This means no financial or personal motivations to weigh when reviewing reports. When you go to the Safe at All-Star website, it's covered in references to Safe Sport. They offer, quote, free Safe Sport training for parents and state that, quote, all owners, coaches, and personnel members are required to complete the U.S. Center for Safe Sport training online course through their USASF portal to be considered an eligible member of the U.S. All-Star Federation. But that's where the relationship between Safe Sport and Safe at All-Star ends, at the training. All of the other responsibilities assigned to Safe Sport in the federal law, including receiving all sexual misconduct reports, investigating reports of sexual abuse in a confidential manner, adjudicating whether an individual did or did not violate the Safe Sport Code, and sanctioning individuals who are found to be in violation, those responsibilities remain in the firm grasp of USASF and USA Cheer, two entities governed by boards with a voting majority held by, wait for it, varsity. This is the part of the process that truly needs independent oversight to ensure decisions are made which protect our child athletes as opposed to the industry's profit margin. Varsity is the one consistent factor in all of this pain and trauma. It funds both of the nonprofit entities that claim to be the governing body for cheerleaders. It holds a majority vote on the boards of both of these entities. No matter what way you look at this issue, the simple fact is that keeping child athletes safe should be the number one priority of any governing body. If you are a governing body charged with ensuring children are safe from abuse or mistreatment, and there are multiple lawsuits filed due to abuse and mistreatment of athletes, you have failed. Trust me when I say we are far from done with exploring Safe at All-Star. The issues do not end with the lack of independent oversight. But, as Will mentioned at the outset of the show, Varsity dropped a bomb today that we need to discuss.
No one expected Varsity was just going to stand at the bottom of the hill waiting to be buried by this coming avalanche. While we were drafting the script for this episode, Daniel Libet of Sportico broke the news that Varsity had retained prominent defamation attorney Thomas A. Clare of the Alexandria, Virginia-based Clarelock Law Firm to pursue claims on his behalf as it navigates this ever-expanding scandal. According to Libet's report, Clare has already sent a letter to Bakari Sellers, an attorney with the Columbia, South Carolina-based Strom Law Firm, accusing him and his co-counselors of perpetuating a false narrative about Varsity. Quote, Varsity Spirit regrets that you and your firm, through your self-aggrandizing and relentless publicity seeking, are obscuring the appropriate concern for survivors and instead seeking to keep the spotlight squarely on yourselves, end quote. That was the beginning of the letter sent to Sellers, who we featured on this program before and who represents 15 Jane and John Does connected to the six lawsuits Jen mentioned earlier. The letter continued, quote, as Varsity Spirit has previously and repeatedly stated, its concern, first and foremost, is for the survivors and their safety, and Varsity Spirit wholeheartedly supports survivors in their pursuit of justice against the individuals responsible, end quote. Well, unless, of course, that pursuit implicates Varsity in any way, shape, or form, in which case the gloves come off. As I said at the beginning of this episode, we're committed to offering all parties involved in this story the chance to make their voices heard. We will continue to tell Varsity's side of the story as we do that. In response to the Sportico report, Sellers issued a statement noting that he and his co-counselors were, quote, committed to our clients and vigorously prosecuting these cases, and that they took their responsibilities, both the clients and the court, very seriously. Sellers added that he hoped Varsity's threats would not have the effect of chilling those who have suffered abuse from coming forward. In my estimation, that chilling effect is a valid concern. Assuming Varsity follows through with its lawsuit threats, we could be looking at a potential SLAP situation. For those of you uninitiated, SLAPs are strategic lawsuits against public participation, and they're often filed against whistleblowers by corporations hoping to chill free speech and keep victims from coming forward with their stories. SLAPs are used to silence and harass critics by forcing them to spend money to defend baseless suits. That's from the Public Participation Project, a group which supports whistleblowers. SLAP filers don't go to court to seek justice, this group said. Rather, these lawsuits are intended to intimidate those who disagree with them or their activities by draining the target's financial resources. SLAPs are effective because even a meritless lawsuit can take years and many thousands of dollars to defend, the group continued. To end or prevent a SLAP, those who speak out on issues of public interest frequently agree to muzzle themselves, apologize, or correct statements. Let me make something clear. We are not about to be muzzled. In the wake of the threatened legal action from Varsity, we reached out to sports safety advocate Kimberly Archie for her thoughts. Let's just say she won't be muzzled either. According to her, the Varsity lawsuit threats are, quote, typical of founder Jeff Webb and on-brand historically for Varsity. Quote, Jeff Webb enjoys litigation and will fight any lawsuit using all available resources, Archie said. Child athletes continue to be a sideshow, while big profits and revenue growth take center stage.
Yeah, I still can't believe that Varsity statement. It's a lawsuit about supporting survivors? I don't think this is about supporting survivors. I think it's about silencing them. I think it's about stopping future federal lawsuits from the Strom attorneys. I think it's about scaring other law firms from getting involved in the fight. I think it's about shutting down the story in the media. Most importantly, I think it's about shutting up survivors and their supporters, or at least trying to. Again. Mark my words, we won't be silenced, and we'll continue to provide an open microphone to amplify the truth in this case, wherever it leads. We thank you for your continued support and would greatly appreciate it if you would share the show and leave us a review.